I have 10 things up here. If we don't get to all of them, that's no problem. But these are things I'm hearing the Lord say right now to get ready for. New things. Sometimes we announce that new things are coming and it's a prophetic decree of faith. Sometimes we announce that new things are coming and we are announcing what is literally unfolding. And what I'm saying to you tonight is not that we are decreeing these things just by faith to try and release power to cause them to happen, but I am announcing that this is where we are. And the new things that we've been crying out for and praying for and believing for are now about to spring forth. And sometimes it takes a while. We have to plow. We have to persevere. And then sometimes the Bible says they spring forth speedily. The suddenlies begin to happen. So we're in a season of those things. And so I'll start with the first one, and I'll begin by telling you how this one came to me. Because the night that I was here speaking during that conference, there was such a portal, there was such an open heaven. It was amazing. I remember when Chuck came on the platform to prophesy to me at the end of the message, he just said, you know, if you could feel what I feel up here, this whole platform is just almost vibrating with Holy Spirit and angelic activity. And it was. But one of my prophet friends from another state that was here in that meeting came to me later and said, I had a vision while you were speaking of John Knox standing behind you. Now, John Knox was a reformer. In the 1500s, he was leading the Protestant Reformation in Scotland. He was a scholar. He was an intercessor and a reformer. So that's significant that the person that God chose to show in a vision behind me in our midst wasn't about me as much as it was just what God was saying to us, to the church, to the prophetic church, to the praying church, was a man who represented prayer. This is the man that you've heard about that cried out, and people heard him crying out daily to God, give me Scotland or I die. And even when he was imprisoned for his faith for a season, they could hear him in his cell crying out, give me Scotland or I die. Queen of Scotland, who was a Catholic and opposed to the Reformation, is quoted as saying at one point, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Europe. So that's what God was picturing for us, was a man who represented that level of intercession, that level of reformation. And then he held up behind me as I was speaking, facing you. He held up the number 313. And the brother, the friend of mine asked the Lord, what is this? And he said, well, look it up. So he looked in Strong's, and 313 is the number for the Greek word new birth. Or new beginning. It's anagenēo. It's to bear or beget again. It's to regenerate. And then the Holy Spirit said to him, look up what will be the 313th day of the year. And he looked it up and it was November the 8th. Election day. And of course, you know, this, you have to say at this point, so everyone understands clearly, Donald Trump was not the Messiah. And our faith is not in him to rebirth a nation. He is one part of a process that God is doing. I see him more as the wrecking ball than I do the builder. But I do believe he marks a new beginning for the nation. And the new birthing. We've been saying for a long time, there's a new birth coming. We've been actually prophesying as we pray over that appeal to heaven flag, that the same thing that birthed the nation will rebirth the nation, and that is an appeal to heaven. And so we're looking to God to do that. But the Lord announced that we are moving into a new beginning. So I want to say to you, just want to announce to you that we are in a new beginning. So you need to think differently. There is a time to sow, there is a time to reap. There's a time for John, there's a time for Jesus. There's a time to go out to the Jordan, there's a time to dance with the bridegroom in the streets of Jerusalem. There's a time for the glory of the Lord to be revealed. There's a time for the mountains to be brought low, the valleys to be lifted, the crooked places to be straight, the forerunning message to do its thing, and then there's a time for the Messiah himself to follow and begin to release the glory of the Lord into the nation. We are moving into that new beginning season. There's a new birth coming. And I'm not sure what all that looks like, but I will say that I don't think any of us have seen anything like what God is about to do. I think all of us, even we radicals, will be shocked when we see some of the things that God is doing. I believe the level of signs and wonders that are coming, the level of conviction that is coming to cities and nations will be shocking in its level of strength. And the level of deliverance that will come to communities. God has an answer for situations that man has no answer for. He has an answer for poverty. He has an answer for demonic curses, voodoo. He has an answer for nations that have been wrecked by principalities and powers for millennia. God has an answer for the Middle East. God has an answer for the nations of the earth. He has an answer, and he's about to bring that answer. And Holy Spirit is going to be poured out in ways that we have not yet experienced. So if you're thinking about the charismatic movement, you need to think again. Because this is going to be different than the charismatic movement. This is not just going to be a sweet little dance, two-step, and people falling on the floor and speaking in tongues. This is going to be an outpouring of that and much, much more. This is going to be an outpouring of the kind of power that was seen in the book of Acts when the world was turned upside down by those early believers. I'm talking about a new birth of a nation and nations returning to destiny. Number two. Oh, you know this. You have your little card, the new currency. I saw Kingsley here tonight who had this vision when we were doing our final Appeal to Heaven conference before the elections in Ohio. And we were crying out for mercy based upon the angelic visitation we had at the White House, and we prayed in February, and then the dream that was given to an intercessory friend of ours, who in the dream I was decreeing over and over, I have tapped into a root of mercy. I've shared that here. Probably most of you heard that story. So when the Lord sent us to the White House, and the angel came and said six times, mercy, 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 mercy. And then the dream came, I tapped into a root of mercy. Mercy became my cry, a cry of intercession, my travail during the elections. When I didn't know what to pray, and there are many times I didn't know what to pray. Early on, when I didn't know who, I didn't know how, I just knew God was working, my cry was mercy. I don't care what you do, I don't care who it is, as long as we get mercy, I'm asking you for mercy. And that was the cry, and many of us, that became the cry. And then during that conference, as we were crying out for mercy, Kingsley had a vision, and in the vision I was standing, and coins began to fall from the sky, and they looked like this. Did you already have these? Were these passed out during the offering? And this is actually, I think, his picture. I think he designed this based on what he saw in that vision, because I reached down and would pick up a coin, and it would be the face of George Washington, but it would say mercy. And then there would be an eagle, and as you see on that coin, it said in capital letters, mercy. And then finally I was standing ankle deep in silver and gold coins, all of which said mercy. But I looked up in the vision and I said, mercy is our new currency. Mercy is our new currency. An amazing, powerful word. It has to do with favor. Has to do with covenantal faithfulness and favor. It's not just sympathy. It's not just forgiveness. It is a covenantal force from God that brings His favor, His strength, His cleansing, His blessing into those who are connected to Him covenantally. It is the favor of the Lord. But that's more than just some symbolic or, you know, just force that we can't tap into, or that we hope we get. It is a It is a covenantal strength that comes to us from the Lord that changes everything. When He decides to give us mercy, everything changes. And so the Lord has been saying to me, you must not just think that the mercy thing was just for these elections. You must understand that I am offering this nation a new season of mercy. It is the new currency. We must start spending mercy. We must go to the mercy seat. We must go to the throne of grace and ask for mercy. Go on behalf of the prodigals and ask for mercy. He does not want to judge them. He wants to give them mercy. Go into the inner cities where the gangs are and ask Him for mercy. Go to the campuses and drive by them and ask Him for mercy. Go to the hospitals and ask for mercy. Go to the dead churches and ask Him for mercy. He does not want to bring judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy just triumphed over judgment in this nation. And we need to ask the Lord in our prayer times, how do you want me to spend this new currency of mercy? The Lord just started reminding me of people in the Scriptures. Noah spent mercy on an ark and his family was saved. Moses asked for mercy for a nation and God said, I will pardon them according to your word. How would you like for God to say to you about that city you're praying for, or that nation you're praying for? I have pardoned them according to your words. That's mercy. Rahab asked for mercy and it led to the preserving of her life and a place in the messianic line. She went from prostitution to being one of the people in the messianic lineage of Jesus. Hannah asked for mercy. She used her mercy and received a son and a prophet. Nehemiah spent mercy and it resulted in the rebuilding of a city. Esther spent mercy and it resulted in the saving of a nation, the Jewish nation. Isaiah spent mercy, cried out for mercy, and received cleansing and a calling. Bartimaeus spent his mercy on new eyes. Son of David, have mercy on me. What do you want? That I might receive my sight. Here! Zacchaeus spent mercy, and it resulted in a visit to his house and a fresh start. John Newton asked for mercy and spent it on a changed life and a song, Amazing Grace, that became the song sang more around the world than any song in history. Wilberforce spent his mercy on the eradication of slavery in Great Britain. Our founders spent mercy. They traded in mercy for freedom and the establishment of a nation that changed the world. The Wesleys and Whitfield spent it on a first great awakening. Finney and others spent mercy on a second great awakening. Seymour spent it and bought Azusa Street and another Pentecost. Lake spent it on miracles. Hudson Taylor spent his mercy on China. Livingston spent his on Africa. Mother Teresa spent it on Indian lepers and orphans. Holy Hubert Lindsay, whom most have never heard of, spent it on the Jesus People movement. What are you going to spend your mercy for? Come on, what are you going to spend mercy for? God is saying, I have given you a new currency. Ask me for mercy. The Bible says He delights in showing mercy. You're not stretching Him when you ask Him for mercy. You're not trying to talk Him into something that He doesn't want to do when you ask Him for mercy. When you ask Him for that person that is steeped in depravity, perversion, iniquities, bondages, drug addiction, other addictions, the vilest of the vile. You are not taxing His limits when you ask Him for mercy. He delights in showing mercy. Every time we ask Him for mercy, it brings pleasure to His heart. He delights in mercy. Some of you, you need to change your focus when you ask God for your city, or that person you're praying for, or that prodigal you've been asking for, or that spouse, or that miracle. You need to understand that this is not a big thing for God. This is not something that He does hesitatingly or haltingly. This is something that He does with great excitement. It gives Him pleasure to bring mercy. He's just saying to the Abrahams of the world, yes, for 50 people, I'll spare this city. Yes, for 40, I'll spare. Yes, for 30, I'll spare. Yes, for yes, 10. Yes, I will spare them. He delights in showing mercy. Romero Pena came up to me during the worship and he said, the word of the Lord that I have for you is that there's no shortage of supply of God's mercy. When I go to D.C. in a few weeks for the inauguration, I will be asking for mercy. I'm going to spend some currency there. I'm going to walk the mall again as I've done dozens and dozens of times. And this time, I'm going to ask God for mercy for the nation. I'm going to spend what He's given to us. How are you going to spend it? There is new mercy available. There's a new currency available to us. How are you going to spend yours? Number three, there's a new glory coming. One of the coins, he said, I don't know if it is on here, that Kingsley saw in the vision, had an American flag on it. Instead of saying old glory, it said new glory. There's new glory coming to old glory. Don't think of glory in the sense of fame or acclaim. Think of glory in its literal meaning of weighty, heavy, the heavy, weighty presence of God. If there's new glory coming to that which the flag represents, this nation, that means there's a new weight of God's presence coming to America. There is a new weight of God's presence coming to America. God's presence is going to show up in places they don't even know what it is. It's going to show up in government buildings, classrooms, homes, communities, inner cities, gang meetings. God's glory, His weighty presence is going to show up, and they're not even going to know what it is. They're just going to know something just came into this place, and the fear of God is on me. The glory of God is going to come into meetings. They're going to be so thick and so strong. Deliverances will start breaking out all over the room. Salvations will start occurring. Signs, wonders, miracles will start occurring. People will prophesy that don't even know what prophecy is. People will start having visions that don't even know what vision is. People will start having visions that don't believe in visions. People will go home and have dreams that don't believe in dreams. The glory of the Lord is coming in new ways. There's new glory coming into the nation, and it's not just for America. It's to return America to its destiny, which is for all the nations of the earth. It's to be a beachhead for the gospel, a beachhead from which Holy Spirit can go forth around the world. There's a new element of our destiny that's about to be released. Satan has done everything he could to stop the destiny of this nation and to abort it. But I'm here to say to you tonight, he was not successful, and we are moving into another arena, another movement, another level of the glory of the Lord to this nation. Another Pentecost is coming. Another outpouring is coming. A new level of glory is coming, and we will be catapulted back into our destiny and purpose as a nation in the earth. And the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. That's not just a song. That is a promise. The glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The glory of the Lord will be released in such a strong way that kings will come to the brightness of the rising of the glory of the Lord. They will come and say, what is this? The glory of the Lord. 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 I heard the Lord say today as I was meditating on this, Ichabod, which means no glory, or the glory has departed. I heard Him say, Ichabod will be erased over nations. I've always heard Ichabod being written, but I heard Him say Ichabod will be erased over people, over movements. I'm going to prophesy to you right now that we're going to see groups of people, organizations transformed into new wineskins in this season that have become old wineskins. You know, movements that have died in a sense or drifted into religiosity and just a more traditional movement based on what God did in the past, but there's no power for today, and they're stuck in old systems and old methods. And I heard the Lord saying, I am coming to revive and renew those wineskins and people and groups and movements that you have thought have been cast by the wayside, have not been cast by the wayside. I'm going to come and take the old off of them, and I'm going to make them new again. I'm going to transform them. They're going back into a new Pentecostal movement, a new outpouring of my Spirit. I will soften them. I will refine them, and then I will refire them because I love them. And some of them have not hardened their hearts. They have just gotten trapped in systems, but I'm going to come and show them how to get out of those systems and move into the new and watch and see what I do with some that you thought I was finished with. Maybe you're one of them, but there's new glory coming. And number four, new assignments, new activities. Harvest is coming. Strategies for breakthrough are coming. Strategies for personal breakthroughs are coming. Strategies for corporate breakthroughs are coming. Strategies for people group breakthroughs are coming. There is a new level of reformation coming to the earth. There is an anointing to reform cities, nations, islands,
There is something God is about to be released, which is a very strong Matthew 28 anointing to disciple nations. God will show people how to reverse curses and bring forth changes in education systems, in financial systems, in food shortages, transforming them into abundance. God is about to transform nations and reform them. I'm going to just say this. 10 years from now, there will be nations that we will look back on, and it will be hard to believe the level of reformation, restoration and reformation that has taken place in that nation. It will be as though they have been born again in a day. Can a nation be born in a day? Yes, they can. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. Assignments are coming, and some of them are coming quickly. When I said in that last conference to Chuck, you need to get a word from God for me. And many people thought I was kidding, because we do joke around back and forth a good bit. But I was serious, and he knew I was serious. And God gave him that word instantly. But it resulted in a week-long assignment that started a week from that gathering, a seven-city tour and several prayer meetings in each of those seven cities for 13 people. And my point is, you need to be ready, because God's going to open up strategies and opportunities to us that are going to come very quickly. And we're going to need to be flexible enough that when God says, change the schedule and go do this, we change the schedule and go do that. When we have the vision and he says, get over to the house of Cornelius, I'm ready to pour out my spirit on the Gentiles. You don't have time to pray about it for a week. Get over to Cornelius' house. Don't ask for the word if you're not willing to do it. I know this is a willing people. I know when I'm with the crazies. I'm telling you, radical, sometimes very quick, sudden assignments are coming. And if you obey, you will see destiny shift because you obeyed. Which leads me to number five, new opportunities. You're going to go by the same place you've gone by maybe hundreds of times, just like Peter and John. But this time is going to be different, because Holy Spirit is going to say, I am now ready to heal this person. There are suddenlies coming. There are new assignments that are about to be released. There are new laws being written. That there are people that have prepared themselves for 10, 15, 20 years who now find themselves in certain places. They do not know why they're there in that governmental position. Some of them are there. They don't even want to be there. They don't like being there. But they're going to write the new decree that reverses ungodly laws. Some of them don't know it, but a year from now, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now, they're going to be wearing the black robe of a judge, and they're going to reverse evil decrees. They're going to upset that which came years ago and brought curses on a nation, and they're going to swing the gavel of the Lord, and he's going to say, I've been preparing you for the last 30 years for this moment. Education systems are going to change. Nations are going to be saved and rebuilt. There are new opportunities coming. We have to be ready for this. We can't rest on the laurels of what God did yesterday or a week ago or a month ago or a year ago. We have to be ready for these new opportunities that are coming. And we've got to be ready to seize the moment. We've got to step into every Kairos opportunity that he has created for us. And when we see the door open, we got to go through it fast. Number six, we're going to enter into a new level of warfare. I don't say this to frighten you, but we're going to face new levels of demonic desperation. It's going to manifest in people. New levels of desperation and anger and new strategies with which to oppose us. But if we just keep following the Lord, he's going to give us the answer for every demonic strategy that is raised up to try to come against us. And I'm going to tell you right now, we can't rely on Washington, D.C. to get the strategies to defeat the ungodly forces in this nation. Stop putting your faith in that. If we don't cry out in this season, just as much as we cried out a year ago, all of the crying out of the year ago will be in vain. We're going to have to amp it up even more. And those that did 50 state tours a year ago, I don't know, I'm not implying that Graham is supposed to do another one, but I am telling you this. We better be going back to those states and not just relying on what God did a year ago. We better be stirring intercession and appeals to heaven just as much now as we did a year ago. We had better not put our faith in man or political party or system. They will fail us, and if we don't pray for them, they'll be overcome by the same principalities and powers that overcame those in the past. We got to keep those things prayed off of them. And we get to keep birthing Holy Spirit strategies for a nation. I'm saying to the prayer movement, ramp it up. I'm saying to intercessors, ramp it up. Reenlist. Ask God to mantle you again for a new season of prayer and intercession. He'll take you to levels you've never moved in before. Which is number 7, new prayer assignments and efforts. The decree, the reversing of the evil decree of Haman only took place after the appropriate level of prayer and fasting. The restoration in Daniel's day and Elijah's day only took place after enough intercession had taken place. We can't expect these things to just happen now because certain people in government positions have changed. We've got to birth now the strategies, the change, the understanding needed by those that have been strategically placed in high places. We've got to birth for them what they don't know how to birth. We've got to pray into being things they don't understand. They don't know how to pray. Their prayer, there are many of them. Trump is probably one of them. I'm not sure he could quote the Lord's Prayer. If he's a believer, which I believe, I take him at his word and others that know him, that he's born again now. But he is at best a baby Christian with very little understanding of Scripture, stumbling his way along just like you were when you were born again, trying to find God's will. We're going to have to birth it in him. We're going to have to pray it into him. We're going to have to pray the spirit of wisdom and revelation into him. We're going to have to pray dreams into him, prophetic intercessors around him. We're going to have to pray for the Huckabees and others and the Carsons, the people, the Pences that God has put in his life. We're going to have to call them up in intercession into a higher place of revelation and understanding where they can walk into his office and say, I have heard from God. We're going to have to go to a new level of kingly declarations and decrees. We came through a movement where 25 years ago it was rare to hear anybody say, I decree, or I declare, or I open this door, or I close that door. And then God raised up a few people who were mantled and had revelation, and prophets began to do it. But now there's a company of people, and God is ready to take it from the few to a company of kingly intercessors, ecclesia, people that understand ecclesia, that know when they walk into a city on an assignment from God, they have the right to close doors and open doors. We've come into a season where we're gonna believe and put into practice what we've been hearing. This is our moment. This is our hour. This is our season. This is our finest hour. This is the hour that the Lord has been bringing us to. This is the time we've got to step through the opportunity. We know that God creates with His Word. We know, I believe now. I think there's a revelation in many Spirit-filled believers that He creates, that word He creates with is spoken through us. That when we open the book and begin to decree what it says, something indeed happens in the atmosphere. Something happens in the spirit realm. Laws are repealed. People's hearts change. Demon powers are pushed back. Demonized people are rendered ineffective and confused, and they lose elections and their efforts fail them because now the atmosphere is permeated with the very word of the Lord, which will never return to Him void, which always prospers in what He sends it to do. He sends His word and heals and transforms and creates. And we're going to have to move into a new level of angelic act, of learning to cooperate with the angels. It's not that we get our focus off of the Lord and on the angels. It's that we begin to understand that they have been sent to help us. And we begin to learn. We learn how to release it. How do you release angelic activity? You release angelic activity by praying in Jesus' name and releasing the word of the Lord because they respond to His word. Don't let the angels He's assigned to you and your sphere become bored. Give them something to do. Decree, 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 decree. Wield the sword. You get it? That's more than a nice little, not nice, that's more than a dance. That should be what every prayer meeting looks like in the spirit, whether we ever get there outwardly or not. I heard the Lord say, I think this is number 8, I heard the Lord say there's a new prophetic whirlwind about to be released in the earth. A fresh prophetic whirlwind. A wind, a prophetic wind of the Spirit is about to blow, which is going to cause us to hear more clearly, Let me say this to you. Every situation that needs to change, the key to changing it is to hear the strategy of Holy Spirit. There is no substitute for that. There is nothing else that is as important as learning to listen, hear Holy Spirit's voice and strategy, and do what He tells us to do. And I heard the Lord say, we are not the Elijah company, we are the Elisha company. My spirit was leaping in me when James kept singing double, 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 because I know what I heard from him this afternoon. We are not the Elijah company. We are the Elisha company. There is a double portion anointing generation that is about to be released in the earth, and it's not about us. It's not because we're better than the last one. It's because we have gone to a new place of the glory of the Lord. We've come to a new season where He can do some things differently. And this is a generation that if we respond to Him appropriately right now, there is a whirlwind anointing of Holy Spirit coming to us that's going to bring a double portion mantle. And the Jezebels that could not be taken out in the last season will be taken out in this season. And the Ahabs will be dethroned. And the Herods will die and be eaten by worms. Kings will topple off of their thrones. Demonic leaders around the world will literally fall off of their perches in front of their entourage, dead. Because the prophet will say to them, the dogs are coming to lick your blood and eat your flesh.
Absolutely.
I mean, I get some of these anointings where I get, it's crazy. Some people think I'm just kind of trying to make a point by exaggerating. I'm not trying to make a point by exaggerating. I'm saying to you, demonized rulers are going to drop dead in front of their entourage. The fear of the Lord is going to come over nations because of the judgment of the Lord that comes on certain leaders. There is a spirit of boldness that God wants to release to the prophetic company in the earth right now that goes beyond anything we have walked in before.
It will be a frightening thing at times. We will be required to operate under the fear of the Lord and not move into presumption and strike the rock when He says speak. And number 9, I heard the Lord say new territories will be invaded, captured, and occupied. This is the season for parts of the earth to be reclaimed for the Lord that have been held by the enemy for centuries and centuries, and we are going to invade and capture those territories in this hour. There is a fresh wind coming to the mission movements of the earth. There is an apostolic company that's about to be sent, empowered by fivefold anointings of Jesus. They will preach, they will teach, they will prophesy, they will cast out, they will declare and they will perform, they will build up, they will tear down and build up, they will overthrow, they will plant. There is a company of apostolic warriors about to be released into the earth, and God is going to give them nations. Nations. God is about to rescue entire cultures and societies by the power of Holy Spirit. Even now, if you listen, you will hear the cry, come to Macedonia and help us. Come to Syria and help us. Come to Iran. Come to Indonesia. Come to Malaysia. Come to China. Come to Japan. Come to Mongolia. He is going to rescue entire groups of people from the clutches of the enemy that has held them in bondage for centuries. He's going to pour His Spirit out upon them with such power and in such dramatic fashion that entire nations are going to shift in a day. Mercy, 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 mercy. Spend the mercy currency on souls. And I heard one more thing and I'm finished. I don't understand what this looks like. I don't need to. I just know what I heard. There is a new expression of the teaching gift that is about to be released in the earth. An anointing, what the Lord showed me when I saw this was Jesus teaching at the Mount of Beatitudes, where for 3 days and nights people sat and listened to Him and forgot to eat. Obviously, I'm not comparing any of us the level that we will operate into the fullness of what he operated in. But his anointing and gifting is going to flow through us at a new level. And there is such a wisdom that is going to be released, that people are going to have their defenses broken down, their confusion taken from them. They're going to hear the truths they've heard all of their life, and suddenly those are going to come alive, and revelation is going to be released, and we are going to witness the spirit of wisdom and revelation, not just in our hearts, we're going to witness it coming out of people's mouths as they teach multitudes for days at a time. Because the fullness of the fivefold ministry of Jesus himself is about to be released in the earth. And this teaching is not going to just be dry teaching. It's going to be prophetic teaching, apostolic teaching, revelatory teaching. It's going to have mixed in with it signs and wonders and words of knowledge. They're going to drift into the prophetic and back to the teaching and back into and into this. And then they're going to give an altar call. The evangelistic anointing is going to be seen. And the fullness of the Christ anointings is about to be seen manifested. In fact, one will sit down and another will get up and begin to take the message from there. And this one will sit down and give place to that one, and they'll begin to prophesy, and they'll teach, and then they'll give an altar call, and then they'll cast out demons, and then they'll work miracles, and then they'll start apostolically sending and decreeing, and then warfare will come into the place, and evil spirits will be dealt with in the region. You're going to see the greatest mix of the fivefold anointings of Jesus that the church has ever witnessed before. It's about to be released into the earth. The greatest expression, the most complete expression of the fivefold ministries of Jesus that the earth has ever seen are about to be released in the earth. The Bible says we will come to manifest the fullness of Christ. The church will mature to a point where we manifest the fullness of Christ. We are coming into that era. It's going to upset some of our traditions. It's going to upset some of our methods and what we have perceived as order or not order. There's about to be a fresh expression of Holy Spirit's lordship in the church. A fresh release of Holy Spirit's leadership is about to be released into the body of Christ around the world. And people are going to sit in amazement and say, how could anyone orchestrate something like this? And the answer is they didn't. Holy Spirit was finally given his way, and he began to orchestrate a full manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ into gatherings and meetings and cultures and groups and organizations. And the earth has not seen anything like it. So get ready for the new. Get ready for the new glory. Get ready for the new assignments. Get ready for the new opportunities. Get ready for the new warfare, because that means you're going to have new victories. Get ready for new assignments. Get ready for new currency. God has given you everything you need for this hour. Spend it. Sow it. Give it. Give it to him. There is mercy, and he delights in showing mercy.